Welcome back to Raw Health Radio, everyone. It is episode number 29 today, and we're sitting down with
Katrina Friel, success coach for intrapreneurs. She's joining me today to talk about the 7 steps to success, which I think is something that everyone should be thinking about, regardless of whether you're talking about business success, health success, whatever it might be. We all want to succeed in life, so Katrina's here to teach us how to do that. Katrina, how are you doing today?
Awesome, David. How are you?
Very well. Now, the first thing that I notice about you is the way your name is spelled, Katrina with an E. And I looked at it and I thought, that's actually, I think everyone else has got it wrong.
I agree. Doesn't it look pretty?
It does. And then your website is just katrina.com.au. That's so, like, it just makes sense.
Yeah, like Madonna.
Exactly. It's just, well, I don't understand why you would ever spell Katrina with an I now. That's crazy. So let's get into it, Katrina. What is your story? What led you to do what it is that you do?
Well, I created my business called Refresh Your Thinking because I was all about really staying quite refreshed in business and in life in general. So the first book I wrote was Refresh Your Career, and that contains my personal philosophy on life. So that's what we'll go through today, those 7 strategies for refreshing success. But then my second book, Refresh Your Life, was all about goal setting, but I hope my goal setting book is a bit funky and a bit interesting, and I've just taken all the best tools that I've found in my 30-year career to really get people thinking about what it is that they want. Because what I find is most people know what they don't want, very few people know what they do want. So that book was designed so that it would break them open and get them thinking about what do I want for the future and how can I be refreshed? And the way to be refreshed is to really understand who you are from a self-awareness point of view. And I love your work, David. I love that you're focused on the body. We've got to know what we need to do to refresh our body and keep it in tip-top order. We need to know how to refresh our minds. We need to know how to refresh ourselves spiritually. So all these things I've been working on over the last 30 years have all culminated, how do you say that word, David, in my current business, Refresh Your Thinking. So it's really bringing together everything I've done over the last 30 years and packaged it up in an easy way, easy format that people can really get into straight away quickly.
I think that's something that everyone needs to focus more on, regardless of how successful you are. You really can't think about it enough. It's something that you always work on. Now, you call yourself a success coach for intrapreneurs. What's an intrapreneur?
Some people think it's a typo on my banner. It's not. It's just a new way of saying there are people with the entrepreneurial spirit working in JOBs. And so I wanted to do a shout out for them and say you're an intrapreneur if you have the entrepreneurial spirit but you're inside a job at the moment, because we can't all be out living our dreams like you and I, David.
Yeah, sadly that is the case. I love the way that one of my one of the people that I look up to in the world of success says the goal is to have a non-job. Yeah. Well, you go to work every single day, but you're not in a job.
Yeah, so I'm looking for people that are intrapreneurs, so people that are really entrepreneurial spirit, and we'll talk about some of those things today. And I want to grab them, and I want to pull them out of their job at some point. And I've got this program called Becoming the Expert Program, where I show them how to create their own little business, like you and I.
So Katrina, your purpose that you've got in life is to transform, uplift, and be a laser beam of focus. How are you a laser beam of focus?
Well, you know how everyone has their genius, everyone has their gifts. Well, one of my gifts is that I can work out somebody's problem in a heartbeat. So just by talking to someone for a couple of minutes usually, I can uncover things that they maybe have never been able to articulate before. And it's just my thing. I don't know why I'm good at it. I'm just good at it. And people love it because in a 30-minute coaching session, we can get somewhere and I can add a lot of value very quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's all about getting straight to the point, eh?
So yeah, get there quickly.
Let's do that right now and get into your 7 steps to success. So step 1 in the Katrina Refresh Success Program is the Eye of the Owner. Now, what's that all about?
What the hell is that? Well, what that is when you're inside your job and you're being the intrapreneur we talked about earlier, Eye of the Owner people are the engaged people in the organisation. They're the proactive people. They have terrific self-leadership. But above everything, an Eye of the Owner person takes responsibility for the results. Whereas if you look at the opposite of Eye of the Owner, it's the fat cat mentality. These people are disengaged in the business on some level. They're reactive to the things happening around them and they don't take responsibility for the results that they get. So I'm looking for people that have the Eye of the Owner quite naturally, and probably people like you and I were really Eye of the Owner when we were in our jobs. And now we literally are the owner of our own businesses. But in a job, you're not actually the owner. But I tell you what you are. You are the guardian of your role. You are the CEO of your role. And that makes you the owner of your role. And you've got to leave your job better than you found it. You've got to be engaged in the business. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is when you go from being a 10 Eye of the Owner, you start to come down to a 9, an 8, a 7, and a 6. Start to look at your next opportunity at around a 6 or a 7 energy. Don't wait until your body is at a 4, because you don't want to be going for interviews at a 4 energy, because you're over into fat cat mentality. And so leave your job around a 7. And that's when your body's talking to you, saying it's time to go. You're bored now. You're over it.
So if you see the people as being successful as those who take responsibility, yeah, how could that carry over to a health program? And how can someone who has a victim mindset in that kind of in that realm be setting themselves up for failure?
Well, you've already nailed it. So fat cat mentality are the victim people. It's always happening to them. It's their fault. They're fat because of this, or they don't exercise because of that. Whereas Eye of the Owner people take responsibility not just for what's happening in their job, but also what's happening in their brains, in their hearts, in their bodies, on every level. And you take responsibility for that. You never blame other people. You go and find out what it is. And there's tools now where you can clear a lot of your limiting beliefs from the past so that it doesn't hold you back. And with health, people that are successful on the health side are very good at self-regulation, and there's a whole bunch of people that are simply not. So when we get to the next part, we're going to talk about emotional intelligence in a second. Good self-regulation sits inside emotional intelligence. And taking responsibility sits in Eye of the Owner.
Now, is this a mindset that people can snap into from that victim mentality? Do you think it can just happen instantly for some people, or does it take a really long period of time?
It happens instantly. That's why I love talking to you and getting these opportunities, because the minute you and I sit down and talk and your listeners are going, aha, right now, to me the aha moment is the change. And so straight away they might identify themselves as acting like a fat cat and they must get out of their job because it's hurting them, or they're sitting in their home right now identifying with the Eye of the Owner and saying, yay, I'm taking responsibility. And so they might be good at some things at taking responsibility, but there's some other things they need to be more responsible for. So I'm hoping that they're having that change right here, right now.
Have you got any tips that people, or any things that people can do in their life to just shuffle them along into that?
I think the first thing to look at is, how do you get out of bed in the morning? The way you get out of the bed in the morning is the way your body talks to you about whether you're in the right place doing the right thing for you right now. So listen to that. And if you're taking all your sick leave, then clearly something's wrong. So your body talks to you in energy and feelings. And so if you and I are pumped about what we do, we're going to have heaps of Eye of the Owner. We're going to have heat take responsibility. We're having fun. We're enjoying it. And our body's feeding us a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. So, Yeah, I think people need to really just look at how they're getting up in the morning and decide what they're going to do about it. Because I tell you what, we're a long time dead, and you know, you only live once. So hey, it better be fun and good. Let's get the most out of it.
That is true. Now, your second step to success is called the locus of control. Now, I did 4 years at maths when I was in school, and I remember learning about that word, but I've forgotten it, and it's only been 8 years since I left school. So do you want to give us a little reminder on what that word means?
Thank God we're not even going to be talking about maths today. In fact, it's called locus of control. So if you visualize a circle, inside the first circle you've got what you can control. So the only thing you really can control is self. That's it. The second circle on the outside of that first circle is what you can influence. And you can only influence others. You can't control them. And then on the third circle, it's everything we can't control. So weather, traffic, whatever. So why I teach this principle is because a lot of people are apparently stressed out, no energy, can't get out of bed, and that's because they're wasting a lot of energy focusing on the stuff they can't control. So what I do as a coach is I get them to look at where they are wasting energy on stuff they can't control, and I get them very quickly to start to shift into stuff they can control. And if they can't control it, can they influence it? And so I give people back within 20 minutes of talking to them, I can give them back about 20 to 30% of their energy in a year just by knowing where to focus. And things like in control under self, the things that you can control are your attitudes to things, your mindset. If you think you're going to have a bad day, well, guess what? You will. Well done. If you think you're going to have a great day, then you will. So to me, I can control my state. And if I think something's going to be really shitty, then guess what? It always turns out shitty. So I just choose the opposite of that. And I control my state. And if you want to know more about that, we can obviously get into it, David. But you've probably done some study around controlling state, controlling emotions, understanding emotions, and just not being at the mercy of traffic and weather and other people. No way.
Yeah, it's a difficult one sometimes when people cut you off and you think, why don't you? But then you got to catch yourself. So you think people are trying to control too much. They're just trying to take everything and everyone else under their wing and just make it all happen, and they're burning themselves out, right?
Well, they absolutely are, because they actually can't control that stuff.
Mm.
So they're wasting energy thinking they can. So one of the important things to be successful is really not wasting any time on stuff that you can't control. So what I'm talking a lot to Gen Ys about at the moment is Gen Ys are really socially focused. They're very interested in the world around them. But one of the things that they find a bit confronting when they talk to me is I say to them, so you're worried about the starving children in Africa. How much control do you have there? How much influence do you have there? And look, you can control making a donation of $50 a month. You could influence the system by going into a charity and raising money. But essentially, it's a very minimal impact, if you get what I'm saying. So I say to them, unless you're willing to do what you can to control it in your little way or influence it in your minor way, then stop wasting energy on whether we've got terrorists or there's global warming or this is happening or that's happening. Start to really pull your energy back in and focus on what you can control and influence. And if that is working on economic situations in Africa, then get on a plane and go there. Don't sit in your beautiful home in the suburbs on your armchair with a Chardonnay, whinging and whining. So, look, I know it's harsh, but really there are specialists, people that have got a lot of influence in these areas, focusing on these amazing developments around the globe right now. And I just laugh at the energy people put into worrying about politics and what's happening with Tony Abbott when I don't put any energy into that whatsoever. I do my one vote And that's the end of my influence, unless I'm willing to sign up to the Liberal Party or the Labor Party and get amongst it, as Michelle Powell will say. She says, get amongst it.
She loves saying that. Yeah. It's funny, my clients will come in and they'll say, because I'm young and houses in Sydney cost stupid amounts of money, and they'll say, what do you think about this?
Prices of housing in Sydney.
What do you think about this? And Tony Abbott did this, and I say, I don't know. Well, you should know because you were going to be buying a house soon. And I think, well, I'm doing everything I possibly can to earn as much money as is humanly possible. You know, we all want to have a reasonable amount of money. Some people might say what I would call a reasonable amount of money is unreasonable, but I'm doing the best I possibly can. I'm right there with you because I just don't care. I'm trying to do what I can.
Well, that's the thing. Just do what you can. And if you say to yourself, it is what it is, so the Sydney market, housing market for young people is what it is, then let it go. It is what it is. You'll either get a house, you'll either be able to afford one, or you can't. Move on. Now, here's what I then do. If I was a first-time home buyer and if I was interested in this particular area, I would then be looking at what I can do creatively about it. So what I'm loving is that young people are going and, say, housing with older people and living in a big mansion and helping an older person stay connected to the community, and the young person has to get to have this awesome life, you know, in this beautiful home. So to me, it's all about creative thinking and not worrying about, you know, stuff that you can't control or influence. Because, look, if the entry-level pricing is $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, well, it is what it is. You ain't having it.
It's like when everyone got upset about Facebook's rules as well. For those people listening, if you don't know much about having a page on Facebook, if you have 10,000 followers, Facebook recently changed the rules because they want you to pay them to get your message in front of people. So if you did a post and 8,000 people saw that, now you might only get 3,000.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Facebook has every right to do whatever it wants to keep its own business sustainable. And making money is actually what a business is for. And they set up a free thing, you know, so you naturally knew that it was going to shift and change. And they're going to give us challenges around that. And you know what? Facebook may stay. It may not. It may have its high. It may have already had its ultimate high. Who knows? Who cares? It is what it is. And just get the most out of it the best way you can. But I don't have any sleepless nights about Facebook.
Me neither. I don't ever lose sleep about Facebook.
I don't waste any energy there.
So step three, personal power. What's the
story?
Okay,
so now we're into it. So personal power is a massive secret to success. This is owning your space. And if you are able to own your space, you actually are able to radiate heat. And when you radiate heat, you create magnetism to you. So people want to buy from you. People want to listen to you. People find you interesting. And the more personal power you have access to, the more ability you have to speak up and speak out. So here's the thing. If you're healthy in this regard and you've got amazing personal power, then great, you're healthy on that. Whereas a lot of people I work with can't speak up, can't speak out, don't radiate any heat. They have bad posture because they don't even feel they deserve the right to own the space around their body. And then they become breathy because they don't even feel they deserve the right to suck up any air in the room. Can you see the difficulty, David?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the people I work with to help turn up their volume, access their personal power so that they can get interviews, get jobs, create businesses and do whatever they want to do. If you haven't got access to your personal power, you're pretty much going to struggle.
So on the health transformation level then, if people are taking control over how they look and how they feel and how they perform in a human body, people around are always going to notice that when you change what's going on with you, and they want to be a part of it and they want to know what your secret is, right?
Yeah. The more sexy you feel, the more you radiate love and the more people are attracted to that. If you're walking around with, say, self-talk saying, I'm horrible, I'm disgusting, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm this, I'm that, then people feel that energy and they're repelled by it. So that's why I work on the inside of people's minds and do a clearing out of a lot of crap, because it's not true. Everyone to me is beautiful. Look at the size of Oprah and look how much access she's got to personal power. So it's not about size, and it's certainly not about being a supermodel. It's just about loving who you are and loving the uniqueness you bring to the world, and start radiating that heat. Start radiating your personal power. You can tell if you're healthy on it by the way you walk into a room. If you walk into the room going, hey, I'm here, where do I sit? Sit down and get going, that's good. But if you sneak into a room with the starting to say sorry, then you've got a problem and you need to come and see me.
That's an interesting thing that you would say, because I work in a gym, and one thing I've noticed all the time is that people might be standing next to like a thing or a machine or whatever, and someone will come over and say, oh, do you mind if I just, oh yeah, sorry, go for it. Mm-hmm. And so I did this years ago, it would have been 6 years ago, and one of my friends said, dude, why are you saying sorry? And I thought, I don't even know. Why am I saying sorry there? That's a crazy thing.
Yeah, it's just that's how we kind of we just notice if people are doing unnecessary apology. If it's unnecessary apology, like your example, then it's kind of an indicator that you don't feel like you've got rights like other people. You have the right to stand there, and you would simply just step aside and go, "It's all yours, all yours, mate."
Yep.
Yeah, something like that. That would just show good personal power.
Now, for those people who still might feel that they don't have any personal power, or that they should be the one who's hiding away in the corner, I would suggest to someone like that, have a think about what everyone else is really looking for in the world. And imagine if you took anyone, whether it was you or me or the people who were listening to this or their family and friends, and completely isolated them from everyone else. How mental would someone go if they had no human connection? Everyone's looking for human connection regardless of what it's like, and everyone wants to connect with everyone else because that's just the way that we as humans work. If you lock them away from everyone else, they go mental. I mean, everyone's seen Castaway, right?
Yeah.
Tom Hanks went crazy. He spoke to a volleyball. People need to talk to people, and if you take that away from them and they can't talk to you because you hide yourself, things are no good.
Yeah. So the world is structured for diversity, and that's why we all look different. That's why we sound different. We have different thoughts and emotions. And so your personal power and you personally have every right, just like anybody. There is no perfection. Perfection doesn't exist. It's all about loving who you are and having genuine respect and self-love for who you are. And that's what generates personal power. Not the bullies from school, not your parents with their negative feedback. You've got to clear all that from your past and start to create who you are and a sense of love. That's what we want to be developing now that we're adults.
Do you know Marie Forleo?
Yes.
Beautiful lady. I love Marie Forleo's quote where she's talking about thinking about going into business, and this could also apply to people who are a bit unsure or not confident about themselves. And she says, I love tapas food, and I like tapas food as well. And she said, but I don't just go to one tapas restaurant over and over and over and over and over again. I like variety and diversity. Everyone likes different kinds of tapas restaurants. There's not just the best tapas restaurant in wherever it is that she lives that everyone goes to. People like choice and variety. So just because you're different or not the same as other people, does that make you inferior to them?
That's what I love about the whole trend at the moment around quirky people. We really have come a long way from, you know, everybody being the same. Now we celebrate quirkiness, uniqueness, and I'd like to see that trend continue. I'm a big fan of the Big Bang Theory, and I love all those quirky characters. And I consider myself quite quirky and unusual, and I just celebrate your quirkiness and your weirdness. And I love going to Comic-Con, for example, and seeing all the weird people with their cosplay outfits on. And you just go down there and go, wow, now this is what I'm talking about. These guys are walking around with personal power, celebrating their uniqueness. And I love that. Imagine if we all looked the same, we were the same height, the same weight, the same face, the same voice. I tell you what, we'd all go mental because how do we know we're different if we don't all look different? So I love the differences, and I think the world has come a long way since KKK first developed its philosophy.
Agreed.
Horrendous.
So step four, emotional intelligence.
Okay, so EQ is, there's nine intelligences, and when we were at school, they were really focusing on our IQ. So a lot of people leave school thinking that they're dumb when actually they're very high probably in other intelligences. And if you're very good with people and get people, then you're probably very, very high with emotional intelligence. Now let's just, we don't want to make it too complicated, and I've got no slides, so just bear with me as I get you to visualize this. Let's just start at the very basics. The first part of EQ is know thyself, because if you know yourself, you're 50% of your emotional intelligence sits there. Then the other part of EQ is know your impact on others. So if you were triggered by somebody, then you've got to know yourself and say, why was I triggered into anger, sadness, fear, or guilt? And then if you got angry, for example, and you went and yelled at somebody, then you've got to understand very deeply what your impact's going to be because of that behaviour. The problem is not many people have very high EQ. So what they do is they get angry and they don't know why they got angry. Then they yell at somebody. Then they say sorry and think that that's going to fix it. Can you see that that person doesn't know themselves, and they certainly did not understand their impact, and that yelling probably severed the relationship?
Because it's okay to be angry as long as there's conviction behind it, right?
Well, it's okay to be angry, but if I'm going to yell at you and I'm going to pick that mode of behaviour, then I need to understand that that's going to affect our relationship. However, if I got angry, what I would do is I'd go away and find out why I was triggered, what's the issue inside of me, get myself cleared of why that happened, and then come and discuss it with you. And I might say something like, oh, David, what you said the other day was just so infuriating. I was just so upset by it. Can we sit down and just work out what's happening? See how I'm talking to you, but I'm not in the emotion?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the emotion. And that's very different. So emotionally intelligent people go and deal with themselves first, and then they can go and deal with the issue after. They never go and do it while they're angry.
Ooh, I like that.
All right, so that's EQ on the very basic level. Now, underneath that is five key areas. One is self-awareness. The next one is self-regulation. The third one is motivation. The fourth one is empathy. And the fifth one is social skills. So if any of your listeners are interested, they're more than welcome to send me an email asking me for the emotional intelligence quiz, and they'll be able to have a little look at that and find their gaps inside the quiz. And David, the other thing is I'm more than happy to give them a free coaching session, so they can book in for a free coaching session and say, Katrina, I'd like to discuss my emotional intelligence quiz with you. But let's not get too bogged down today. It's just that I want to say that those five things are what makes us emotionally intelligent. So self-awareness, we're cool with. Self-regulation, that's where I struggle the most. Because I know what to eat, but I might not do it, and that's me not regulating properly. Whereas anybody that's really good with exercise and eating well, they're very good at self-regulating, so they're very good in that bit. Others are really good at the motivation bit, so some people have heaps of motivation but no self-regulation, so that'll affect their success. Some people are highly empathic, and they can really... that's one of my gifts, is that I'm very empathic, so I can feel how other people are feeling and I can relate to a lot of people very quickly. And the final one was social skills. So if somebody's not very social and can't get to know people quickly at a party or at a networking event, can you see how they're going to struggle in business or in life in general? So all those five things, different people will have different strengths and challenges, and that's what a coach is for, is just to have a look at what your challenges are and see what we can do just to take it all to the next level and get them moving forward.
Love it.
Do you love it?
I will be doing that emotional quiz, and I bet my worst score will be empathy.
Really? Whereas that's my best score, whereas self-regulation's my challenge. And we all do. There's no perfect arrival at emotional intelligence. It's just one of those things we either are into or we're not. Remember, Google intelligences. Google nine intelligences and see that there's loads. Some people are mechanically intelligent. Some people are have a lot of body spatial awareness. But emotional intelligence is the one that is the most useful in business. And all the successful people in this world have very high emotional intelligence usually. IQ, I don't pay for IQ because I've seen people with really high IQ and they can't sell their product, they can't get their invention out into the world, they can't relate to people. And so IQ to me isn't anything important. I think emotional intelligence is where it's at.
Mm-hmm. It's good to talk the talk, but being able to walk the walk is much more important. So let's go to initiative now. Why is that one of your seven steps to success?
Initiative is really interesting. Imagine fire for me. So if somebody has good initiative, it means that they have the ability to light up inside and it puts fire in their belly. So let's look at our businesses, David. You've got fire in your belly. You've got get up and go. You've got make it happen for your business. That's initiative. If you had none of that, you would still be talking about your business and have done nothing about it. So procrastination is the opposite of initiative. And not having any flame on something means you've got no ability to get it done. So what I do, if I was coaching somebody and they said, oh, I really want to start a business, but I've been talking about it for years and I've done nothing, then what I do is I go, well, if you haven't done it, then it doesn't light you up. You have no fire in your belly about it. So sometimes I'll tweak the business idea and get the fire happening, or their business idea sucks and that's why they haven't done anything, because the body didn't work with them by giving them the fire, the energy, the get up and go. So I love to work with my initiative, and I love to work with the concept of fire, because fire gets stuff done. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, I like that. I mean, I always think if you look forward into the future and plan out where you want to be, and the thought of getting there just doesn't make you sick to your stomach with anticipation and excitement of what it can be like, then
there's not enough fuel to get it going. Now, I could go into a lot more detail about this, but just a couple of things on that. One is think of fire as the fuel. You've got to have fuel to get an idea started or to get you moving on something. But there's two types of fire. There's the slow burn, and that's really good for our long-term strategies. So I've been in business for 15 years. So business for me has been a fantastic, nice, slow burn, and the fires are still burning and hopefully will continue to. But then there's a fast burn, you know, like a firecracker. And a lot of people are naturally really good at generating ideas and they have a lot of fast burn on things. But that's not always great, because the fire's gone out before they've even started, or they've got bored with an idea and they want to move on to the next fire. So there's that to consider. And I work with people on both those points of view, is how do we get a slow burn happening? But I love the fast burn. It's just understand what that is and how to manage it. The other issue about initiative, and this pertains to my personal problem, when I was younger, I had fire on everything. So I was like excited, go do this, go do that. And what happened is I had two burnouts before I was 25. because everything was an excitement to me. So I had to refine the concept around initiative. And for me, it's about picking a pen and staying focused. And I've now mastered that to a certain degree. But for other people, they love me because they understand that I understand the problem, and that is pick a pen, like just decide which fire you're going to burn, because you can't burn all of them.
Do you think there's a bit of room for trial and error there?
Yeah, definitely. So fast burn on things, go did it. Yeah, fast burn on 10 things and find the one that's going to slow burn for you and really maximize your time and energy. Yeah.
And it can be a bit of a process, but that's what all life is, just a process.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Yeah. Fast burns for me was not an issue. I can do that all day long. But my business is all about the slow burn now. And now that I understand that, it's really increased my success.
Oh, yeah. Confidence, step six, my favorite thing in the world to talk about.
Confidence, me too. So confidence, people go on about going, I'm confident or I'm not confident, but actually that's not the case. You are confident on some things and not confident on others. Like I'm not confident to play the piano, I'm not confident to play the guitar. That's because I haven't done what it takes to be confident on those things. So think of a triangle, and the triangle has three points. The first part of confidence is self-belief. You've got to believe you can to get started. Then the second prong on the triangle is it's got to add value. So you've got to have self-value around that thing. And then the third prong is self-assured. So if I believe I can, think it adds value and sticks with it long enough to become good at it, then I'll get confidence on that thing. But with piano playing, do I have self-belief on, do I believe I could ever be a good piano player? No. Well, then stop right there. To be confident on something, you actually have all three things in balance. You got to, and the main one that I find with most people is they just don't stick with it long enough to get good at it.
So what about people who walk into the gym for the first time and are hugely intimidated and aware that that's not their natural environment and they don't have any confidence?
Well, they've walked in. So first of all, they believe they can. Otherwise, they wouldn't have walked in or wouldn't have bought something. The second thing is they know it adds value. So that's not the issue. The only issue at this point for them to get confident is get stuck in and have a go, have a crack and start to work on their health and fitness, and the rest is history. After about, 3 months, they're getting fantastic results. They're starting to go, I'm really confident about going to the gym. I really believe now it's for me. I really believe now it adds a lot of value and I'm sticking with it. The reason they're not people that aren't confident is deep down they don't truly believe it's for them, or deep down they really don't truly believe that's going to add a lot of value, and, of course, they haven't stuck with it. They're out already.
When you first sat down with your very first business coaching client, how confident were you?
Well, with practice, you obviously get better and better and better at it. But I believed that I had done the training. I believed I had a natural knack. I believed in myself as an intelligent, empathic person, and all that other good stuff that I must have thought in and around my self-belief. Then I must have believed that coaching clients was going to add a lot of value to my business, and I must have believed that coaching added a lot of value to my clients. So thus having that as a medium in which to connect with people. And then I simply stuck with it long enough to get really good at it. But for other coaches who are just starting out, practice is key. And working out your unique proposition around how to coach a client, the first thing I get people to do is work out their philosophy. I get them to design their philosophy, because look at health and well-being. There's tens of thousands of people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I come to you, or why would I go to your listeners? Is that they have to have a philosophy that I relate to. So to get confident about what you have to offer, you've got to look at what makes you believe you're any good and what makes you believe you've got anything to say. go and work out your philosophy first, then go and learn business so that you know how to add value in what formats and mediums are available today, and then obviously practice and do a lot of freebies to start with. Do a lot of freebies with randoms and start to get some really good feedback, which then feeds back up into self-belief.
That's how we like it. So yep. Last step, being human. This is an interesting one, and I'm eagerly anticipating what you've got to say here.
So being human is all about being authentic, and that's why I love you, David, is because your business is called Real Authentic Wellness.
For the moment, I'm just about to change it, but the authentic word is staying.
Yes, I love the word authentic, and this is what this principle is all about. This is all about being human, being your authentic self, being yourself. And we talked earlier about personal power and all that cuteness we were saying. This it sort of ties back in to, I don't want you to be a parrot of somebody else's stuff. I don't want you to be, an evangelist for somebody else's stuff. What I want you to do is take all the knowledge you can from others that turn it into your unique wisdom. And that's what being human's about is, I am Katrina Friel. I am who I am, love me or hate me, but I can't get away from who I am. And I am my unique, authentic self. And I don't change much from here talking with you to being down at the pub having a beer. What you see is what you get. And that's what I want people to do, is anyone that's struggling in life, is I want to show them the path to their unique, authentic self. And there's a couple of things that I do in coaching and everything to help that process. But at the end of the day, God, get into your own body, get into your own head, and find out what you personally think, because that's what people want to buy, is your unique expression in the world, not somebody else's.
And it makes you interesting as well. I mean, I love
hearing
the stories of how it is that other people get to where they are. I mean, my favorite part of this radio show is saying to people, you know, what's your story and how did you get to being who you are? And I think people need to understand that they're always creating their own journey, or largely creating their own journey. And there's a unique brilliance in that. And people want to get to know the story of other people. That's what we're most interested in. In fact, yes. You know what? Michelle, she did she was on the show a couple of weeks ago. She did a little series on body image, and she interviewed a whole bunch of men. I was one of them. And universally across the board, we all said, and I wasn't lying, I doubt any of the others were as well, because I know a lot of them, we're more interested in the story than in the way that you look. That was what men said. Hopefully that doesn't surprise anyone, but
there you go. That's amazing. Yeah, because I just don't like how so many people are tired every week on a Friday and just spend their weekends recovering from the week that's passed. The reason they're tired is because it takes 10 times the energy to pretend to be something that you're not. So if you're in the wrong culture and you have to act a certain way to keep the job, then you're in the wrong culture, you're in the wrong industry, you're in the wrong job, or you're in the wrong business. So for me, one of my quirks is, let's say I stand up on stage and I swear. And people, no one's ever complained about me swearing, because it's authentic to me. It's just my way of expressing myself. It's not that me being rude. It's just me being myself. I can't help it. I do it for effect. I do it to express myself, and I say the odd swear word. So what? If I try to contain that, then I slip out of authenticity and I start to try and be something that I'm not, which is actually the opposite of me, is formal and conservative. So if I try to be formal and conservative, I'm falling out of who I am into somebody else's expectations, and that won't work. If you want to be successful, best way to do it is say, here I am, world. I am what I am.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. Take it or leave it. Have you read a book called The Millionaire Fastlane by a guy called MJ DeMarco?
Sounds fascinating. No.
I don't like the guy who wrote the book, but the book was brilliant. And he said, similar thing to you. Most people will go and work and do stuff that they don't want to do for 5 days a week and they'll rest for two. And as an entrepreneur or someone who decides on the path that they want to go, and he says, I don't work. Like I do stuff and I get paid to do stuff, but I don't have to go and, you know, take 2 days off a week to go and recover from the 5 days that I spent doing something that I don't want to do.
Mm.
It drains
your energy being fake. If you're feeling drained at the end of every week, then let's have a little look at it. And as a coach, I would look at the constellations around you and see from the inner you what is draining your energy. Some women, their husbands drain their energy and they have to pretend to be this fake wife that they're not, and so that might be draining their energy. Other men might be drained by their wife. Some parents are drained by pretending to be perfect parents, and so we look at that. But the main one I look at is people are drained by their jobs. And that's usually because they're a square peg in a round hole, and that's draining them. So we look at that and we see that their personality, their true authenticness should be expressed in a different way. It would be like telling me, Katrina, you're now going to go and work for a financial firm as an accountant. Do you think that would add energy to my day, or would it drain energy from my day?
Very draining.
Yeah, so could I do it? Am I intelligent enough to do it? Probably. But is it going to be my authentic self and will it energize me? No. So that's why I would have picked that as a career choice. So I want people to look at their career choices and see, is it giving them energy or is it draining their energy? And that's what being human's all about.
Love
finding
it.
Finding your spot in the world.
So you've given us 7 steps, Katrina. How do we measure the results?
So for all of the 7 steps, give yourself a current rating out of 10 for how well you're doing it, and then give yourself a rating out of 10 for what you'd like that number to be in 12 months from now, and then you'll have a gap. So you might be 6 out of 10 and you'd love to be a 9 out of 10, which would give you a gap of 3. Then add up all your gaps for the 7 and that will give you a total figure. And then you'll start working on that and check back every 90 days and adjust your figures until that gap's closed. Or give me a call and we'll work on it together in a free coaching session. Happy to do that.
I love the idea of measuring always.
Gap analysis. Fabulous.
Yeah, it's huge. So where can people reach you if they're looking for coaching from you, Katrina?
I think just jump on the website, katrinawithane.com.au, and there's a book called Refresh Your Career. So if you don't want to interact with me and you just want to get the book, spend $10 and get the Kindle version, or spend $20 and I'll post it to you. If you want both books, you can get Refresh Your Life and Refresh Your Career for $30. That's sort of a good deal. But the main thing I want people to do is call me. Let's have a free coaching session so that I can talk to you about where you're at and how I can laser beam myself onto you and help you in a very quick way.
I don't think there is a limit to how many success books someone can read.
No.
I mean, Napoleon Hill, Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Robin Sharma, all these people, like I'm obsessed with reading success books. I think it's
the best thing. Well, those books are what we call the classics. So all those books have built us all. So anybody in personal and professional development these days has been built on those books. But what we've done is we've taken that knowledge, layered all those books in, and then you create a completely unique cake out of it and express yourself in the world. But Think and Grow Rich was the beginning of my journey 30 years ago. And not quite 30 years ago. I read that book probably about 20 years ago, and it changed my life. So if anyone asks me what's my recommended reading list, always start with Think and Grow Rich.
Mine is Zig Ziglar. I love Zig Ziglar. I love his voice. There's only two people in the world who can ever read to me on an audiobook, One of them is Zig Ziglar and the other one's Paul Tchek, who you probably don't know, but I refuse to listen to audiobooks unless it's Zig Ziglar. I will not do it.
Yeah, he is awesome. He is awesome. He's one of the best.
He is my dude. It's just a shame that I never got to interview him, but I like listening to him regardless. Well, Katrina, I really can't thank you enough for this.
Pleasure.
Success for intrapreneurs, and this carries over hugely to the health side of things as well. It's all about staying on track with success.
You bet. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Katrina. I'll let you go and I'll chat to you soon.